We spent a great deal of time this morning in our Bible class talking about obedience, talking about what pleases Jesus, and I want us to somewhat continue that idea this morning. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Our text will come from verses 13 through 17. We want to talk about being well-pleasing unto God. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God is always pleased with those who submit to his will. And that was really the point in our Bible class. God was pleased with John the Baptist, as we'll notice in this chapter. God was well pleased with his Son Jesus, whom he makes that declaration very clear. The heavens are opened unto him. Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove and lights upon him. And then the voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I believe it's the case that if we learn this lesson of obedience, we too can be pleasing unto God. We can be counted as righteous, as we discussed in our Bible class hour. And so let's begin then with John the Baptist. God was well pleased with John the Baptist. In verses 13 through 15, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." We see Jesus' visit. His purpose in this visit was to be baptized of John. But notice this, because John did the will of the Father, but several things that I want us to point out, this is in lieu of prophecy. This is the fact that this is being fulfilled. This is prophecy being fulfilled. John was one crying in the wilderness. Notice the first three verses of Matthew 3. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." In other words, John would be the one who would prepare the way for Jesus and making those paths straight, the idea being to lay the foundation. And so John the Baptist had a purpose, and God gave that purpose to him. It was prophesied by Isaiah to begin with, but in that, we see in Matthew chapter 3, this is being fulfilled. Because here is John the Baptist on the scene. He's preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He is crying out, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He's baptizing those there in the Jordan River, and Jesus now comes to John to be baptized of him. This is the one whom Isaiah would prophesy. In verse 13, then, we see Jesus coming to John. But to begin with, in verse 14, we notice that John is reluctant to baptize him. Notice verse 14, it says that John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And so, John was reluctant to begin with. But much like people that we meet, and much like probably ourselves, we were somewhat reluctant in fulfilling the truth, in obeying the truth ourselves. But here is John the Baptist. Jesus comes to him. He is, as recorded in John chapter 1, when Jesus comes on the scene, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so he has recognized him as being the Son of God, and he's reluctant. He says, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and you're coming to me." He had a hard time understanding why Jesus would come to him. And so Jesus then begins to teach. And so we see then John the reluctant, and then we notice John the learning. He's learning. Jesus explains the purpose of this baptism. It was to fulfill all righteousness. He says, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." We talked about that idea of righteousness this morning in our Bible class as well. The idea then is that what God has said, because He is right and true and cannot lie, then what He says, I will do. And if I do that and submit my will to His, then
then I too can be counted as righteous. But he says they've come to fulfill all righteousness. This is the purpose in this baptism. In verse 15. And then in verse 16. Or the end of verse 15 rather. It says, then he suffered him. And so not only do we see John changing from reluctance to learning, but now he's willing. He's willing to be obedient unto the Father. We need to take a moment and learn the valuable lesson. Here is John. He's preaching the gospel message. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And so John the Baptist is on the scene teaching this message. Jesus comes to him to be baptized, but he's rather reluctant to begin with, not fully understanding why would he come to John to be baptized. John says, I have need to be baptized of thee. He understood his position, but at the same time, he understood this is the Son of God. And so Jesus begins to teach. And upon that teaching, and upon John's learning of the truth, that it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is the Father's will. This is why we are here to do this. And so John becomes willing to obey, willing to serve in whatever capacity that's been set before him. And so you have John the willing, and John suffered Jesus to be baptized. And then in verse 16, we have the baptism of Jesus. And so we see, though, that God was well pleased with John the Baptist. But what about Jesus? Well, we've already mentioned in the introduction that he was well pleased with his son. There's no doubt in that. And we see several instances. But I want us to notice some other verses that show that Jesus did the will of the Father. Because that's what's important in all of this. He says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So in order to be righteous before God, we must be willing to be obedient. Notice what Jesus would say, as recorded in several other places. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4:34. The Hebrews writer would say concerning Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus himself learned obedience. But then he says, to those who would also be made perfect, to those who would have and enjoy salvation, they too must be obedient. And so Jesus continued to teach in his life obedience to the Father. What about on that occasion, as we read in Matthew 7, where he is stated to those, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And then Jesus says, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. How important is it then to be obedient? In order to be counted as righteous, it is most necessary. It is the most important thing for us to consider, that we might be considered as righteous. In our text, Jesus tells John the Baptist, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, verse 15. And so this indeed was an act of obedience. Christ was concerned about doing the Father's will. In Luke 24, verse 44, it's recorded for us, Jesus saying, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus understood his position as well before God. He must do the Father's will in all things. He must be obedient in all things. And then Luke records for us in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, we begin to read in Acts chapter 3, those things which God before had shown by His mouth, or by the mouth of all His prophets rather, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. All the things then, Luke says, that were recorded in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning the Christ, Christ has fulfilled. He has done all of those things. Acts 3 and verse 18. And so God was well pleased with His Son, whom He declares by that great opening up of the heavens, that great thundering voice from the heavens that said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And on another occasion when He would say that, He would say, "Hear ye Him." We must hear Jesus. We must follow Jesus. That's what the Hebrew writer was stating, that we must be obedient unto Him in order to have eternal salvation. Christ in His life was the great example, the perfect example for us, that we might follow in His steps. 1 Peter 2:21. But we come to the question where we each have to examine ourselves. Will God be well pleased with us? He was well pleased with John the Baptist. He's well pleased with His Son Jesus. But we too have opportunity to be pleasing unto God through their work, in fact. We are required to do the will of the Father. Jesus says we must do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. But not only that, we see that it's required of us to give glory and honor to God our Father. Revelation 4:11. In fact, that's the reason that we were created, was to give glory and honor and praise unto God. But how are we going to do that? Again, by being obedient to His will. How then can I be well-pleasing unto God? The same way, by being obedient to His will. And because Christ fulfilled all righteousness, we too have opportunity to be pleasing unto God, to be saved by our faith and our obedience, as we discussed in Bible class this morning. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins," John 8:24. He said, "We must repent, or else we'll likewise perish." Of those, that example that He gave of those who had perished in that tragic accident. But He said, "We must be willing to confess Him before men as well," Matthew 10:32-33. "And then He will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. And if we fail to do so, then He will not confess us before the Father in heaven." Particularly verse 33. And so we must then continue to submit to His will. Well, what did Jesus say? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We must submit to His will to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 26:16. And we could go on and on showing these examples where they, in the book of Acts, how were they added unto the church? By being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. And you look through those examples throughout the book of Acts. That is the history of the church. How were they added to the church? Over and over, they believed Jesus Christ. They repented of their sins. They confessed Him, and they were baptized into His body, which is the church. That's the plan that God gave. If we're going to be pleasing, considered well-pleasing unto God, then we must submit to His will in that plan of salvation. But it doesn't stop there. If we're going to be pleasing unto God throughout our Christian life, then we must continue faithful unto Him. Never looking back at the world thinking that that's something that I want any longer. We've given up that old life. That old man has been crucified, put to death, that the body of sin might be destroyed, Romans 6. And so we continue then to look forward into that great life of Christians living one another together in fellowship and in service unto Him, that we could provide a living sacrifice unto God, Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. But not only that, but we continue to live our lives faithful unto Him, that we might be an example to one another, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:24-25. And so we dare not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But not only that, it's not just in our assemblies, it's in our daily lives that we continue to live with one another in great fellowship and service unto one another and to those round about us, that we might be that example in this community, that shining light in this community that draws others unto Christ. They see the gospel living in us. Are we living faithful lives? Are we faithful even to the point of death, if it meant that? Revelation 2 verse 10. They would be facing death as living as Christians. But for us, we're not living under those circumstances. Not in this country. We have great freedoms and we enjoy that freedom. But there may come a time when we're faced with that. And so are we willing then to live faithful, even unto death, that we might receive the crown of life? Are we willing to endure to the end, that we might be saved in the end? Matthew 10, verse 22. As we consider these things, how we may be pleasing unto God. Consider the great example of John the Baptist, Jesus Himself. Where do I fit into this picture this morning? Have I obeyed the gospel? And then am I living my life as a righteous servant of God? Here's the reason why. Because we want to be well-pleasing unto God. But notice that the way that the gospel is spread is through us, preaching it by our mouths, by our actions. So what type of life are we living? Are we living the type of life where we can say to others, follow me, because I'm following Christ? The Apostle Paul was able to say that. Be you followers of me, or imitators of me, as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Can we say that? Can we truthfully say that? Can we tell our friends and our neighbors, come follow me. I'm going to show you Christ. If not, then there's something wrong. And that's something that we'll need to take care of. But may God say of all His children, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my child in Christ, and I am well pleased with their life. If we consider the Father, not wanting to disappoint, not wanting Him to look at us and say, why are they doing that? Why are they living that way? When I've given them everything that they need that pertains unto life and godliness, and I've shown them the way, I've sent them my only begotten Son, and He died for them. I so want to be pleased with their lives. And then can we say then that God is pleased with us? There's a poem that says, blame not me. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. As we consider our situation this morning, our spiritual lives, where do we stand before God? John the Baptist, well-pleasing unto God. Jesus, the Son, certainly well-pleasing unto God. What about us? Do we need to make changes in our lives? Do we need to obey the gospel? Won't you come while together we stand and sing?